This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. And in the time that it took me to introduce myself, hundreds of robocalls intruded upon innocent people everywhere just trying to live their lives. But there are things you can do, and the answers to your undying questions, like why does this keep happening to me and will it ever stop? That's after these tech headlines. China sweetened an offer to open its cloud computing sector to foreign companies in a bid to forge a trade deal after U.S. negotiators rejected an earlier proposal as inadequate. The fresh concessions are aimed at reaching a compromise the U.S. negotiating team is pressuring Beijing to make to strike an overall trade deal. Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and others have invested millions of dollars or more to provide cloud services in China, but are hampered by regulations. Better access would potentially allow them to enlarge their presence, take a bigger chunk of the market, and ultimately help President Donald Trump meet a goal of reducing the U.S. trade deficit with China. Computer scientists were instrumental to producing the newly unveiled image of a black hole, a scientific first. Katie Bowman, a researcher at Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, helped develop the new methods that sift through the mountains of data collected from multiple telescopes around the world, and without such algorithms, the image wouldn't have been possible. You can see for yourself and read more about it at WSJ.com. T-Mobile's nascent video business has a new name. It's called T-Vision Home, and the company says it's an upgraded, rebranded version of Layer 3 TV, the cable-like company T-Mobile bought early last year. It says T-Vision Home will be available in 8 cities this Sunday, though a mobile version of the service is still in the pipeline. The new TV service carries 25-plus channels at a relatively high price point that could limit its growth for the time being. Coming up, if you're wondering if robocalls are almost impossible to stop, that's a fair question. We'll explain why the answer is complicated after this. So if you're like everyone, or at least the billions of Americans that receive several robocalls a day, possibly an hour, you've grown frustrated with the situation, both wondering how it got so out of control and if there's any end in sight. Turns out the matter is complicated as these things are. Luckily, we have in our podcast studio, The Wall Street Journal's Sarah Krauss and Spencer McNaughton. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. So the thing about robocalls, it seems like something that instead of getting better, it just keeps getting worse. You know, and we're all at our wits' end, and you feel like the government should have a better handle on this. Why have robocallers been able to get away with this so well for so long?
It is very cheap and easy to make tons of calls at one time. And the internet and voiceover internet calls make that very easy and inexpensive to do. It's also that there are legitimate and illegal robocalls. There's many different types of these. Some of them are purely legal and legitimate, and you just don't want to get them, but you are legally allowed to get them, or they're legally allowed to be made. And others are scams that are illegal.
Yeah, what I love, it, there's a word for it called spoofing, and that's the one that really bothers me, because you feel like it's a legitimate call from your area, you should be able to answer it, and yet, that's another trick that's been able to thrive here.
Yeah, spoofing definitely makes it look like you are getting a call from someone who is near to you when, in fact, it's a fake number. It's a number that the caller doesn't actually have any affiliation or ability to use, but they're trying to trick you to pick up the phone.
There's a really huge underlying issue here in that it is a huge scam operation that has really wreaked havoc upon millions. Would you mind just reminding us the kind of scams that are out there and how it goes beyond just annoying us?
So it could be anything from, you know, targeting immigrant communities, pretending to be immigration officials and saying, you need to give me this money, or you need to come to this place and hand over this personal information, or you're going to be deported, or we're going to come for you or your family, like that type of really threatening activity, to selling services or devices or vacations that don't exist, to simply gathering personal financial details, trying to build a relationship, and in the process, gathering personal details that can then be used for identity fraud or scams and theft.
Have either of you gotten a particularly weird call that really freaked you out as such?
It didn't freak me out, but I actually got one just today for my laser tooth cleaning. that came from a Manhattan number spoofed that just said, call our office back at da 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 da.
And I've been getting calls pretty much every day that's been asking me to sign up to buy different braces for different parts of my body. And it's really weird because I actually needed a brace from a few months ago for an actual injury I have. But I know that these calls aren't related to, you know, the physical therapist I've been seeing or anything like that.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, there's a wealth of opportunity to just bother us, I guess.
What was the most surprising to me is just how much money we actually get scammed out of. Like, I feel like so many people just think these things are annoying. They answer them like 3 or 4 times a day. But we actually got U.S. citizens lost, I think, around $9.5 billion in 2017, which was when I saw that, I was like, wow, I didn't expect us to actually have lost that much.
Right. It's so important to highlight that, you know, again, it goes beyond just the everyday annoyance. So, you know, complicating things even more are all these rules and regulations that are already in place, right?
Yeah. So the FCC has call completion mandates, and that means that cell phone carriers, they kind of have to ensure that phone calls are delivered to the recipient. And this is kind of set up. This pressure helps hold carriers accountable and make sure that the quality of the calls, and particularly in remote and rural areas where service can be dodgy, isn't compromised. So they want all the calls to actually make it through where service is of a high quality.
Right.
But what that does sometimes is that these mandates, the carriers become wary of blocking suspected robocallers because they worry that that they're going to violate the FCC's call completion requirements.
Right.
So they tend to wait for the FCC to say, you have our blessing to block numbers that include the incorrect number of digits or that have, you know, all 5555555, you know, like that until they have explicit permission, they're very hesitant to go out over their skis and willy-nilly block.
Mm-hmm. Another complicated frustration. Let's talk about more things that are frustrating. The FCC has fined $208 million for wrongdoing versus collecting $7,000. I'm furious. What makes accountability so hard?
I mean, one of the things that's tricky for the FCC is that it is not able to collect the penalties that it levies. It has to pass that over to the Justice Department, which does have the authority to collect that financial penalty. The FTC can, but again, like the common problem that they run into in these cases is that, A, building a case alone is very difficult to do, and the FCC only has a year to collect and bring a case. There's legislation in Congress right now that would expand that time horizon and would help give them more time to put cases together. But when you only have a year, that's not a whole lot of time to forensically analyze call patterns and trace back and find, you know, responsible parties. And then once you've brought that case, actually finding the people, it's easy if you're a small shop to just close down and disappear and start up a new shop a day later, even at the same address. And then once you have even brought a financial penalty, then determining where that person's assets lie and what's seizable is a further challenge. So there's just this really, like, there's just a mire to sort of wade through before you can start to get your hands on assets. And that's part of the reason that collection number is so low.
And then I think another thing that, like, was interesting that complicates things is that so many of the robocallers actually operate overseas. Mm-hmm. And that gets muddied with, like, international law. And it's hard, you know, to implement proper jurisdiction when you, A, might not even know the country that the robocaller is calling you from.
Right. You feel like there's no hope. You see how complicated all of these matters are on so many different, you know, levels. So the question is there any? I mean, are there at least things that we can do to make things better?
So Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, I asked him a few weeks back, well, what do you tell your mom, like, when she complains to you about robocalls? Because anyone who's ever, like, written about, you know, litigated or had anything to do congressionally with robocalls,
right,
hears from everyone in their life, well, make it stop. Why is it happening? And he says, don't answer the phone. And that's a pretty amazing thing if you think about it in the context
of the
U.S. phone system. Yeah. And I think that's, like, the profound problem here is that it's, like, eroded confidence in the entire phone system and people don't pick up anymore. And really the best thing you can do at this stage is to not pick up.
Wow.
You can get a robocall blocking app. There's literally hundreds of
them. I was going to say, like, I know there is stuff out there, but how much do they really do? Have you guys had any luck using them?
Yeah, and they do catch a fair amount. And the way a lot of them operate is like a honeypot where they will, you know, create, they'll buy a block of numbers and monitor the calls coming in and look for patterns throughout, or they'll create reports based on their users' activity and the calls they're getting where they're spotting patterns. So, like, the sheer critical mass of calls calls that they're collecting, they're looking for known scam patterns. So it does collect some of it, but it's not a full answer. There is an effort that the telecom industry is working on. It's two protocols that would basically verify calls, and it would say that this caller has the right to use this phone number and nothing's happened in the course of this call. So you would see like a green check mark or something on your screen that would verify that the person calling has the right to use the number that they're calling from.
But at the end of the day, even with those new protocols and if those efforts get deployed, the phone will still ring.
Yeah. So I guess we can end on, when in doubt, don't pick up the phone, and good luck.
Yeah, that doesn't, I know that's not terribly satisfying. And I will say, you know, oftentimes when we write about this, I get like fist shaking emails from people saying, you know, like, well, fix it.
Yeah.
It's a really tough nut to crack. And I think a big part of that is that there are legitimate forms of robocalls, and the same equipment that can be used for legitimate robocalls can be used for illegitimate robocalls. And just like the sheer...
Not unlike the spoofing, you know? Like,
yeah, the sheer price and volume of what can be done online now is such that it really is very difficult to crack down on. You can't crack down on all calls overseas because there might be legitimate business calls being made from overseas. You know, there's not like a simple just put down the gates and it will stop.
Yeah, I guess we'll all just have to go through it together. But in the meantime, guys, thank you for joining us.
Thanks
for having us.
That does it for the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.